We're continuing our series on. We're continuing our series on Romans chapter 5. Let's go there. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 12 through 19. Romans chapter 5. Verse 12 through 19. Romans 5, verse 12. Amen. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the trespass of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the gracious gift is not like the transgression, for by the transgression of the one, the many die. Much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the gracious gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men who believe. For as through the one man's disobedience, who was that?
Adam.
Who?
Adam.
I got to give you a Wednesday night quiz, or you'd be snoring, head thrown back, you got slime coming outside. This, you know, I gotta wake you. Okay, for as through one man's disobedience, who's the one man disobedience?
Adam,
the many were appointed sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, who is that?
Jesus.
Christ Jesus, right. The many will be appointed righteous. Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
All right, you still out there. That's good. All right. We've been focusing on verse 14 like for a decade. Let's go back to verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the trespass of Adam, who is a type / a figure / a foreshadow of him, capital H, Christ Jesus, who was to come. We asked the question way back, how is Adam a foreshadow? What are the similarities that have been pointed out that makes Adam a foreshadow of Christ Jesus? We talked about both of them are the head of their races, right? They were appointed by God. God made a covenant with both of them. Each of them represent all their seed. Each one has passed on to see the effects of the fruit of their works. Each of them is the head of their respective races. Went over that, two races, one spiritual, one natural. Adam is the head of the natural race. Christ Jesus is the head and representative of the spiritual race. We talked about the human race that all died under Adam. We talked about the spiritual race. And one thing we landed on about the spiritual race is that it is a chosen race. 1 Peter 1:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's only possession. The chosen, meaning you were elected and selected before time began. And we talked all about that. And we dwelt more on chosen. We looked at examples of chosen. Isaac was chosen and not Ishmael. Jacob was chosen and not Esau. The apostle Paul was set apart and chosen and elected to be an apostle before he was even in his mother's womb. Jeremiah, the Lord said, before I formed you, that's before you even existed, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. I said we need to put ourselves in that same exact category with the Apostle Paul and Jeremiah, because before we were formed rather in the womb of our mothers, he knew us, and before we were born, he consecrated us. What does consecrate mean? To separate and set apart unto himself. Consecrate, separate and set apart unto himself. Well, does that not fit? Yes, we just read 1 Peter 2:9, which says that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. That's consecration. You follow me? He set us apart from the world unto himself as being holy. That's what 1 Peter is talking about. But you were a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. So when he says that in Jeremiah, that I have, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. He consecrated you. If you're born again, he consecrated me if I'm born again. You've been consecrated, and he has appointed us, not necessarily as a prophet to the nations, but he's appointed us to be a people for his possession. Well, let us get that. So I keep repeating and repeating and repeating. Because we still will look at, well, that was Jeremiah. Well, that was Paul. Of course, no, that's you. God didn't change his modus operandi, his method of operating. Did the same thing. Before you were in your mother's womb, before he formed you in your mother's womb, he knew you. If you're born again, he knew you. And Romans 8:29 says, and those whom he foreknew, right, knew intimately, he then predestined. So he didn't just know you, say, hey, I know you. How you doing there? Having a good life? And, well, that's it. I greeted them. He didn't know us just to know us. He knew us to give us a destiny. Then he didn't stop there. Once he gave us a destiny, then he called us. Remember, now time begins, and now in time, we're called, we're justified, and ultimately, we're what? Okay, we are awake, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. The election, though, here's where it gets a little tough for some. The election, the selection, this choosing is unconditional. Remember, we mentioned that about 3 weeks ago. Still got to remind us. It's unconditional. Nothing we did concerning salvation, concerning him choosing us. Nothing we did. And when did this choosing take place? Before time began, before foundation of the world, all correct. And this choosing of this race took place before time began in its entirety. Remember we said that? Now, we've gone over that before the time began. Now, let's get a graphic up here. Let's get a graphic up here. Now, and it's good to kind of help to have a graphic. So I said, let's use it this way. This line right here represents, if we're going down, this line right here represents Genesis 1. This is when time begins. You follow the down, then down on down to the floor would be the beginning of time. Genesis, the floor is Revelation. Beyond, below the floor would be eternity, future. So above this, well, we can do it this way. This is Genesis. Let's do that. So above this is eternity past. You got me? You got me?
Yes.
Are you awake?
Yes.
Father Abraham? Okay. they used to do that when the students got sleepy. You ever heard of that? We used to get around. They used to sing Father Abraham with many children of Father Abraham and something like that. And then we would stand the whole class up, fourth, fifth grade, and they would sing Father Abraham and got like... It's like the Christian version of 99 bottles of beer on the wall. You follow me? It's the Christian version. So Father Abraham, many children of Father Abraham, and I forgot the rest of that. And we would get them and sing them around, and they'd be nice and riled up, and they would sit back down, and we'd keep teaching. So I think we don't have to do that with you all. Okay, so from here to here is what? Eternity. You got it. From here to here is what? Genesis to Revelation. Time began. This is time. This is in time. Below this is eternity future. All right. Good to have the graphics. Now, that's why I did this. Because since these circles are actually in this block, that's why I let this be eternity past. Because they're in there. I mean, if I could stick these up here, that'd be great. But just understand that this happened in eternity past. You got that? I know you heard it, but I want you to get it again. Those who were going to be in the human race and stay in the human race was determined in eternity past. And those who, from among the human race, if you will, lack of a better way of saying it, and being chosen as a spiritual race was also determined completely before time began. You got that?
Yeah.
All right. When did this take place?
Before time began.
Before time began. In eternity past. Now, what has to happen? This eternity past.
Time has to begin.
Time has to begin. I know that's real simple. Wasn't a trick question. But I just want to make sure you understand that. We're about to now talk about time beginning, because this is done in the spiritual realm. Remember, we talked about it on Sunday. Jesus was already born of, he descended into ascension, born of a woman, lived a perfect life, died a sinless death, vicariously for us, paid our debt, died our death, buried 3 days, rose again, ascended on high. When was all of that done? First, in eternity. All right. So, this is an eternity past. Jesus, son of his earthly name of his humanity, is all done eternity past. Now, as Chris said, what has to happen now is now time must begin to bring the entire plan and purpose of God. You hear a lot about purpose. It was done according to his purpose. Can you now understand why there was a purpose there? Some people say, well, if God just chose people, then that was arbitrary. Arbitrary means to do something without reason. Haphazard. That's never God. That's never God. Just because we don't understand the reason doesn't mean that God's reason didn't have a reason or it wasn't a good. Everything God does is good. It is purposeful. It's deliberate. Right. So we just land there. Okay, God did that. He did it. Why did he choose me and not somebody else? Don't know. Remember, that shouldn't be the question. That'd be, why did he choose anybody? Everybody. He would be just to leaving everybody over here. And never picking them out. Okay. Time begins. We got now, we got to now bring, how does this race exist in time? And that's through the birth canal. We got to be born. Okay? Let's go back to Galatians chapter 1. And thank you for letting me go over all of that again. And we're almost time to close. Jesus is Lord. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 again. Throw your hand up. Throw your hand up in the air. And let me know that you got it. Okay? Galatians 1, 15. I want everyone to see it. So as soon as you get it, throw your hand up, up and down. And thank you. Yep, Galatians. All right, thank you. Chapter 1 and verse 15. You got it, Mr. Denise? Okay, let me know. My bad. Okay. Galatians chapter 1. Yep. I got you, Nicole. Yep. Thank you. Galatians 1, 15. Now we're talking about time beginning. Genesis. In the beginning, God created. Soon as you see that word create, I think it's bara, it means that something is beginning now. Before there was nothing. And now something's beginning. Created the heavens and the earth. Time begins. And like how Auntie Sue says it again. Yep, Genesis happens. Revelation. This is the whole of humanity here. So I wish we could put that up there, but amen. Galatians 1:15. But when God, who set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, so forth and so on. He set me apart before he was in his mother's womb. But notice how it makes the reference to his mother's womb. Why? Because eventually, once he has been set apart in eternity past, time must begin for him personally. Does that make sense? So before his mother's womb, he was called. But then he must then go in the mother's womb and come out, exist, so that what was purposed, listen please, what was purposed before the foundation of the world now becomes a reality. That journey now begins in time. Make sense? Look at Jeremiah. Yep, we're going to turn to scripture. Let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 1. No, we just read it, but I want you to see it again. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Help us to get this, Father. Yeah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Same thing. When you throw it up, throw your hand up when you get it. Okay, thank you. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. All right, thank you. All right, here we go. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, look how he keeps going over the natural part from here to here. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I created you. I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So before, eternity past, you were created. Before you were born, I knew you. And then what happens? He creates her, and he allows him to be born. Does that make sense? I know it's real simple, but I just want you to get, I believe, an over-teaching. Get in your heart and mind. Yes, this is an eternity past, but it still now has to begin in time and bring about the purpose. Part. Remember, this is the end game, if you will. This is the end goal, lack of a better term. This is God's end game for all of humanity. Already taken care of in eternity past. But now it plays out in time between Genesis to Revelation. See, we all the folks up in here, we don't know who they are. Peter lets us know the reason that Christ Jesus is delaying his coming is so that everybody who's supposed to be up in here is going to get up in there. There are people not been born yet that's going to be up in here. So you got to think through it like that. That's why he's not coming no time soon as we think it is. First of all, it's going to get worse than what it did say nothing, but this is light action. Yeah. You read Matthew 24 and 25. It's this light action. Then, of course, just started Revelation 6 all the way down to verse 9, chapter 19. It's horrible. So the word of God says, such as the world has never seen. This is, Jesus said, when you see all these things, he said, this is just the beginning of sorrows, comma, but the end is not yet. Matthew 24. It's going to be a minute for people. Well, it's getting terrible. He's coming soon. Soon to God. Remember, 1,000 years is a day, there's 1,000 years. Soon to God. But us, it's still got some time to go. Why do you think we keep saying, Lord, I want to go get out of here? Because you think this is bad. This is going to make this look like Sunday school picnic. My Lord and my God. Okay, let's come back to my bad. All right, so now time is beginning. Before I formed you, then he forms you. Before I formed you and you were in your mother's womb, I knew you, then I formed you and put you in your mother's womb. So I can now carry out my divine purpose. Look at Romans chapter 9. Romans 9. Hallelujah. Feel like running. Romans 9, chapter 9, verse 10. Romans 9, chapter 9, verse 10. Got it? You'll throw your hand up. Got it. Great. Gotcha. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were, look at this again, not yet born and had not done anything good or bad. Here's eternity. So that God's purpose, according to his choice, would stand. Not because of works, but because of him who calls. He said, I will, so forth and so on. So they had not yet been born. Eternity passed. Look up here for a moment. Had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose, which came across here in eternity past, might stand, he said these things would happen. So before they were born, he had purposed that. And then what happened? They were born. Twins. Same father. Then he made his choice. Not then, rather. He'd already made a choice here. But the choice, better way of saying it, became manifested. His choice was already made. Listen to that now. That's a good one. Not then he made his choice. That was a mistake. Let me point that out. His choice was already made. That's what we said. This was completely finished before time began. It just the manifestation. He's spiritual race first. Spiritual race that... in order for us to be redeemed, the spiritual race, right, the redeemed race, chosen race, we must be first saved. So the spiritual race first must be born, and Christ Jesus, who's going to allow us to be prepared, lack of a better term, to become a member of this race in time, he has to be born in time. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at this. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a life-giving soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Look at this, verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, comma, but the natural, then the spiritual. You're reading it. As far as it coming to pass, the spiritual is not first. We are first in time, natural, and then spiritual. In time. You follow that? In time. We're first natural, meaning we must be born naturally, and then spiritual. So read it again, verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 9. Verse 6, Romans 9, 6. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. So it's not enough just to be born. Just because you're born don't mean you're going to be end up over here. The Jews thought that, especially who were their descendants. They thought, well, if I'm from Israel, but he's making that distinction. Nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac, your descendants will be named. The ones who are going to be the children of God, of the spiritual race, are going to be born, but through a particular person that I've chosen. Born through a particular person that I've chosen, that is from the descendants of Israel. We went over Jacob, chosen not Esau. We saw Apostle Paul, Jeremiah, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. So the spiritual race first has to be born. We've covered that. Apostle Paul, Jeremiah, Jacob, Israel, Jesus first must be born. All right, and then we're going to close with this. So the spiritual race first must be born naturally. Then, or secondly, the spiritual race has to be born spiritually. You got, all right, preacher. She got, great, I'm loving that. Then the spiritual race must be born spiritually. That's why there must be a second birth. Ye must be born what? Again. Must be born again. The spiritual race must be born spiritually. So let's go over to John chapter 1. Yes, and the Jane the Queen. That's right. Right on it. Do you understand that, y'all? Because when we were born the first time, we were born in sin. We got them. That's why the whole back then, Romans 5:12, because all sin, we have a sin nature. But we were chosen to not stay there, or we were chosen to be redeemed from our sin nature. Thank you, Jesus. So we have been born again. All right, look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. Throw your hands up and down so I can see right quick. See, yep, got you. All right. Yeah, John chapter 1, yep, verse 12. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wait on you. Yep. Let me know. John chapter 1. All right, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Look at this. Who were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. Hold on. He says, you don't become a member here just because you were born here of blood, of flesh, of the will of man. Nope, that don't work. Just only this. It's got to be this and something else. Look at this. Who were born, not of all of that, they got the end of it, but of God. So you could say, who were born of God, the second birth. That's what born again means. We've heard that for many years. Am I right, Ms. Palmer? Many grew up on that. But we didn't know what it was. Nobody explained it to us. Glenda Jean know about it. But nobody explained it to us. We just heard it. You must be born again. True. What does it mean? It means to be born of God. We were born of one man, mankind, woman, but now we must be born of God. Look at John chapter 3, two chapters over. John chapter 3. Look at verse 36. I'm sorry, verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to who? Nicodemus. Verse 1 or 2 is who came to Jesus by night under cover of darkness, didn't want to be seen. Jesus says to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born what? Again. He cannot see, which means to perceive and recognize and understand the kingdom of God. He can't understand it. He can't see it. He can't recognize it or perceive it. Unless you are born what? Again. Well, you have, it's necessity that you are born the first time because God is redeeming humans. The gift that was promised in eternity past, the great gift, love gift from God the Father to his son Jesus, was a group of humans who had been redeemed. He didn't save animals. He didn't redeem trees or shellfish or great white sharks. He redeemed humans. Does that make sense? I know, but this is real simple. Yeah, but I want you to understand that. So we had to be born, humans. Humans are born. Then, go ahead, he causes us to be born again. He says it very clearly here. Say, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom, let alone enter it. Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus is making light of what Jesus is saying, I believe. He cannot enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born again, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. See, those are not spiritual things. He cannot enter into the kingdom. Now he can't enter it. He can't see it. He can't enter it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, Nicodemus. Uh-oh. That which is born of the flesh. Look up here right quick. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you're not born of the Spirit, then what? You're just flesh. And no flesh enters the kingdom. There has to be a great spiritual, supernatural transformation. Because that which is born of the flesh stays flesh, will always be flesh. Hey, y'all, I hope this helped me out with your cousins, your aunties, and your crazies. They're just flesh. This will help you out with your crazy father and mother and cousins and friends and enemies. If they're not born again, they're going to act foolish. Yeah, sinners. And don't even let them surprise you. It shouldn't even surprise you. Make it on your nerves because they're talking so crazy. But the word of God said, to go from the presence of a fool. But thou perceivest not, and then the lips of knowledge. They're not speaking any tame word for you, they just see you. I'm done with this. Yes, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, stays flesh, will always be flesh, act like flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's why he says you must be born again. Because if not, you can't nowhere even approach over here. Yes, must be born the second time. Look in Galatians chapter 4 as we get ready to close. Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. And again, throw your hand up and down when you get it. Galatians 4, 28. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yep, Galatians 4, 28. Thank you, Jesus. All right, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Yep, Galatians 4, verse 28. Okay. And you, brothers, in accordance with Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh was persecuting him who was born according to the spirit, so it is now also. You know that because you got that right in your family. Those who are born according to the flesh are persecuting you because you are born according to the spirit. Amen. There are a few of you, everybody that probably can raise their hand. Family members born according to the flesh are persecuting, because Jesus said, they that live godly in Christ Jesus, who are the spiritual race, shall suffer persecution. But notice the two borns. You got to keep remembering John 3:6, that which is born of the spirit is spirit, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. The flesh does not turn into, there's a supernatural miracle that takes place. That's how Lazarus came out of that tomb. There was nothing in his flesh. His flesh was dead. There was a supernatural resurrection. Same thing with us. Our spirits are dead. You must be born again. There must be a resurrection. And thank God there was. Amen. We're going to stop there. We're going to have to review that again on Sunday, then move forward. Father God, thank you for choosing us. Thank you. We're forever grateful that you chose us to be a part of this spiritual race. No goodness of our own, but by your grace. And we are forever grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.